Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Now, people have already started booking their stays in mandatory hotel quarantine as of this morning. Minister for Health Stephen Donnelly has said that mandatory quarantine may be extended if a passenger tests positive while in quarantine. He was speaking this afternoon at a media briefing as to how the system is going to operate for passengers who arrive from 33 high-risk countries. In a moment, I'll be speaking to Conor King of RACO, which is the Representative Association for Commissioned Officers. But first, I'm joined by RTE's health correspondent Fergal Bowers, and I know you were at a technical briefing in relation to all of this afternoon. Fergal, what more did we learn as to how the system's going to work?
Well, we know it comes into force at 4 o'clock in the morning on Friday, and the bookings on the portal have already gone live. We weren't given a figure as to the numbers that have already booked, but there have been some bookings, we were told, this afternoon. And of course, it applies to all incoming passengers from 33 designated states that where they may have been in the last 14 days previously. And the cost for the quarantine will be just under €1,900 for a 9-day period. For a 12-day period, it is 14-day mandatory quarantine that exists. And we heard this afternoon that the mandatory quarantine, it might be extended if a passenger tests positive during quarantine. Now, the normal period would be 14 days, but if it is extended, the state would cover those extra costs for the additional extra days. But it could mean, for example, we heard from Kevin Kelleher, the Assistant National Director for the HSE, that if a person tests positive in quarantine, that period could extend for 10 further days. And then they would need to be 5 days free of symptoms to be released. It could be quite a long period for some people who would be, I suppose, unlucky enough to test positive in quarantine.
That's really interesting. So you could be there on day 5 and test positive and then face another 10 days and maybe 5 days after that again to be symptom free before you'd be allowed leave?
Yes, unfortunately. So, I mean, that would be quite difficult. The other issue, I mean, I was asking him about was what sort of health support would there be for people in quarantine? I mean, it will be difficult for people being in quarantine for a long period of time, isolated on their own. Well, there will be clinical staff at each hotel, and there will be a GP available if that's needed also. People are going to be assessed on arrival, you know, from a health perspective, and contacted at least daily. They'll also be asked to complete a questionnaire at least every 3 days to check in on their mental health.
Okay, what about those then who may be exempt from quarantine? On what basis would you be exempt?
Well, the exemption, there are general areas, for example, air crews, maritime, guard or defence force travelling, drivers of heavy goods or diplomatic travellers. Members of the Oireachtas are exempt. Now, we're told they're travelling so rarely, it's not a particular issue, but they are exempt, and they will, the measures will not have to apply to them. We also heard from Brigadier Brendan McGuinness. He said the Defence Forces, they're going to be there to support various agencies of government and other parties. They'll oversee the transportation of people by bus. They won't be driving the bus, but they'll oversee the escort of buses to the various hotel locations. Brigadier McGuinness said the role of the Defence Forces is to ensure the passenger pathway is safe and secure. He did say small teams of Defence Forces will be at all locations, the airports, ports and the hotels. We also heard from Una Buckley, who's the Deputy Secretary General of the Department of Health, who said customs staff will be there at airports and ports to detect people who may try to bypass the system. But there'll also be a 24-hour day, 7-day a week appeal system for people who feel they should not be in quarantine.
Okay, thank you very much for joining us with that update. That's RTE's health correspondent Fergal Bowers. Well, I'm joined now by Conor King, General Secretary of RACO, the Representative Association for Commissioned Officers. And Conor, thank you for joining us this afternoon. The Defence Forces have been given a key role, really, in this new system. Can you explain to us, we heard a little bit there from Fergal, but can you explain to us what exactly they're being asked to do?
Yeah, hi Sarah, thanks for having me on. Yes, to my understanding and to the understanding of my members is that the Defence Forces have been designated as what's known as a state liaison officer to support the mandatory hotel quarantine policy. And that basically means, if you were listening to the Minister this morning, is it's kind of an end-to-end service. So at all times, or at all parts of the journey from a passenger, once they've entered the country, passed through the border management unit and through customs, then they're met by a Defence Forces member. And the Defence Forces then are with them until they are, I suppose, transferred to the hotel staff in the mandatory quarantine facility, which is a hotel. So it's a state representation at each part of the journey, and while they are in quarantine as well, there will be a Defence Forces member 24/7 at the facility.
I assume that's not a one-on-one marking, is it? That it's more that there will be a member of the Defence Forces for a group of people arriving and being transported?
Absolutely. I think I heard you saying that Brigadier General McGuinness said there were small teams of Defence Forces members. No, we couldn't. We certainly wouldn't be able to stretch to that. Mm. But it certainly is. It's an administrative, logistical, and I suppose a supervisory capacity. And it's my understanding that there is a private security company contracted for the day-to-day, as well as hotel staff.
Okay. So say then I'm arriving back from one of the designated countries. I land in Dublin Airport. What can I expect from the Defence Forces perspective? When is my first meeting with you? And can you just talk me through getting to the airport then?
So again,
the hotel.
Yeah. So again, the Defence Forces team was being made up of primarily of junior officers. So they will meet the passenger when they come through Dublin Airport. They'll do their usual business and administrative requirements at border customs checks, and then basically the Defence Forces member will be there to almost to check them off and to show them to the transport. So once they have actually accompanied them to the transport, then there will be another Defence Forces team which will accompany the bus, which is driven by the private company, to the mandatory facility.
Is this a huge commitment, I wonder, Conor, for your members? Do you have the resources to meet the needs of all of this? And we don't know at this point exactly how many people we're expecting to have to accommodate. And that might not become clear for a couple of weeks until this is all operational. But in terms of resources, what would your thoughts be on it?
Yeah, I suppose that's one of the known unknowns, as they say. At the moment, the Defence Forces is quite stretched. There's no doubt about it. We have a retention crisis. We're about 1,000 people below what we should have to safely run all of our roles and responsibilities. We've had to cut our cloth in order to support the HSE during the COVID pandemic, and we've been very happy to do that. But we have suffered in terms of prioritisation of other key areas. At the moment, yeah, we absolutely can commit to what we have committed to. The Defence Forces wouldn't have committed to otherwise. I suppose that, like I said, the known unknown is, if this was to expand, would we have difficulty in sustaining it? And again, you know, how long is a piece of string? You just have to presume that, you know, we would have to reprioritise as the situation develops.
Because there have been calls from some political parties and groupings for all people arriving into the country, regardless of origin, that they would all be required to go to mandatory quarantine. I don't know, would you have any thoughts on whether or not that would be feasible from your perspective to police that?
Probably straying into the operational space from a representative point of view. However, it's certainly true to say that if the requirement for mandatory quarantine was to increase exponentially, and therefore the requirement to supervise, liaise, and administer that was to also increase, we would struggle.
Now, everybody arriving into the country from these designated countries will know that this is the system that awaits them when they land, and yet we don't again know to what extent there may be people who will resist it or who will try to leave or sneak out or any of that. I wonder, are your members armed? Can they prevent someone leaving the facility, or how would you anticipate those sort of situations being managed?
Yeah, absolutely not. The purpose of the quarantine system, as has been kind of implemented in other areas of the world, is more deterrent. And you have to remember, Sarah, that somebody who's made a decision to come to Ireland in a planned journey will have already prepaid the guts of €2,000 to make this to pay for this facility. Mm. So that is the first deterrent. The second deterrent is the fact that there will be private security, etc. And the Defence Forces are there not in an enforcement capacity, not in a policing capacity. It's purely for liaison and coordination. That's what my members have been briefed. To that end, the only people with powers of enforcement or powers of arrest in the state are in Garda Síochána.
Okay, and they would be called if there was a serious security problem?
That's our understanding.
We heard from some representatives of the Gardaí this morning that they have concerns about being asked to be pulled into these situations with COVID so rampant, and they obviously are not a priority on the quarantine, on the vaccination list rather. Would the Defence Forces have any similar concerns, you know, being on the buses with these passengers, transporting them from the airport in the hotels with them?
Well, first of all, it's my understanding that we won't be on the buses with these passengers. But having said that, if there is close contact with people who are obviously prioritised for mandatory quarantine, we would have to hope and insist that our members have adequate personal protective equipment. And we would also be pushing for, and we have been asking, that our military management have pushed for the prioritisation of vaccination of any people who are, as they say, COVID-facing.
OK, so you would like to be pushed up the vaccination list for those people who are involved in this, in this exercise?
Just for the people who are involved in very close quarters with high-risk individuals.
And when you're talking about a proper PPE, you know, that ranges from a piece of cloth over your face, you know, to the mask that you can throw away, to the high-grade masks that apparently give you more protection, would you be looking for those types of masks, or what would you be looking for in relation to that?
We've been very good in terms of force protection in the Defence Forces. There's no doubt about it. We have our own masks that are extremely good. We have personal protective equipment. We have a lot of people who have been involved on the front line in support of the HSV as frontline healthcare workers. So it's and there are procedures in terms of, as they say, donning and doffing equipment, you know, taking it on and taking it off, that people would be very much familiar with. So I wouldn't have any concerns that we wouldn't be provided with the PPE. It's just
okay.
Obviously that we would hope that we would.
Just before we let you go, Conor, and briefly, I know the cadets are going to be paid an allowance for their work during the COVID pandemic. How significant is that?
That's extremely significant for our cadet members. You know, they really stepped up to the plate during COVID in terms of contact tracing. When the country was in a bit of a crisis at two separate occasions, they sacrificed their own training and missed a hell of a lot of it and had to make it up in weekends and at night time and stuff in order to step up for the HSC and for the country. And I think they're to be commended. And it was very disappointing that the government, in the shape of the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform, refused them the allowance like every other trained military person. And we had to fight a case to the arbitration for that. But I'm delighted to say that they have got their small allowance. And it's, I suppose, a welcome boost in a week where they're actually being commissioned as officers in the Defence Forces. Their parents and their friends won't be there to see them because of COVID. So I suppose this is one way to soften the blow.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us this evening. That's Conor King, General Secretary of RACO.